tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage of scripture from Matthew's gospel that we are going to focus upon today is the section about salt and light. These two metaphors are used to describe the disciples' impact upon the world. When we think of salt, and Rosemary basically preached the first part of my sermon, but that's okay. It's a good thing to reiterate. It is one of the most common items we see. Salt can be seen as key, as a preservative, as a seasoning, and as essential for human life. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be seasoned with the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it palatable to others who are wanting something that tastes so good in their lives, knowing his grace and his love, sharing with others the most essential message for human life. God's blessing of Jesus Christ is the most essential for human life, that lives may be turned from the putrefying depths of sinfulness to being preserved as pure and holy unto God. There was a business owner who, as a seeker, had employed scores of Christians in his company, and he watched them like a hawk. You know, I was naturally drawn to God by observing Christian workers who were conscientious and kind and thorough and aggressive on the job, he said. But I'll tell you what really impressed me. One day, a guy I knew to be a fresh convert asked if he could see me after work. I agreed to meet with him, but later in the day, I started to worry that this young religious zealot might be coming to try to convert me too. I was surprised when he came into my office with his head hanging low and said to me, "Sir, I'll only take a few minutes, but I'm here to ask your forgiveness. Over the years I've worked for you, I've done what a lot of other employees have done, like borrowing a few company products. I've abused telephone privileges. I've taken some extra supplies here and there. And I've cheated the time clock now and then. But I became a Christian a few months ago, and it's real. Not the smoke and mirror stuff, but in gratitude for what Christ has done for me, and in obedience to him, I want to make amends to you and the company for the wrongs I've done. So could we figure out a way to do that? If you have to fire me for what I've done, I'll understand. I deserve it. Or if you want to dock my pay, dock it whatever figure you think is appropriate. If you want to give me some extra work to do on my own time, that would be okay too. I just want to make things right with God and between us." Well, things worked out, and the business owner said that this conversation made a deeper spiritual impact on him than anything else ever had. It was the single most impressive demonstration of true Christianity he had ever witnessed. Being the salt of the earth, that Jesus seasons our lives. He takes away the putrefying smell of sinfulness, and he preserves us with the goodness of God to be pure and holy unto God. And he helps us to carry that most essential message in all that we do. The second aspect that Jesus talks about is light. There's a Chinese proverb that says, "Don't curse the darkness, light a candle." Perhaps you can remember a time when you were in the dark. Electricity went out. Things were very, very dark. I remember when I was a child, probably around your age, and our schools used to go on field trips, and one of the field trips we went to was Laurel Caverns. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so it's not around here, but maybe the Olentangy Indian Caverns would be comparable. But we went down into that cave, and I remember seeing a bat hanging there, and it was pitch black in there. Isn't that funny? You can remember something so vivid. I can just still see that bat hanging there. Well, sometimes things can be very, very dark when the electricity goes out. But also things can be dark emotionally or spiritually in our lives. We can be filled with discouragement, hopelessness, or even despair. Who served to light a candle in the darkness for you? What did they do, and how did you respond? Maybe it was someone who took the time to listen, or made you laugh, or maybe cooked you a meal, or took you out and just sat and talked to you. Jesus tells us in this passage that we are to be lights in the world, a city set on a hill. Now, those of you that know me well know that I grew up in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh has a wonderful scene when you go through the Fort Pitt tunnels. Anybody ever go to Pittsburgh through the Fort Pitt tunnels at night? Something, you know, you go, you just see this tunnel and this kind of mountain that the tunnel goes through. But there's something fascinating at night when you get through the other end of that dark tunnel. The city opens up in brilliance. It's one of the things that people who have gone through Pittsburgh and through that Fort Pitt tunnel, it's one of the things that they are so amazed. The lights, it's just like you come out of darkness into light. Well, on top of Mount Washington, which overlooks the city of Pittsburgh, there are observation decks, which you can get up on, and you can look down at the city. And it's a beautiful sight. But what is also beautiful is when you're down in the city of Pittsburgh, and you can look up to Mount Washington, that's all lit up. Grandview Avenue is always lit up at night. It's a city, a part of the city, set on a hill. Jesus tells us that we are to be lights in the world, a city set on a hill, because when it's set on a hill, all can see the beauty. As Christians, the light of Jesus is to shine through us so that we are obvious, that we are watched, and that we are a reflection and give light to the world and to others. There's a story told about a strip of sand called Castle Islands near the eastern end of the Bahamas. And few people are aware of it, and it is tiny and isolated. Well, Castle Island is important for the lighthouse that is its sole source of humanity. One day, a young man was sailing in the area, and he anchored his sailboat off to the lighthouse and swam to shore to exercise his legs on the beach. The lighthouse keeper, Cedric Hanna, was surprised, and he was delighted to have the company. So he invited the young man in to join him for some fresh-caught lobster and a tour of the lighthouse. The young man climbed up the winding staircase to the lantern room at the top of the stairs, and he was astonished at the size of the light that signaled safe passage through the maze of shoals and reefs. The light was a tiny kerosene flame, barely bright enough to read by, yet with the aid of mirrors and reflectors, it was visible 25 miles out to sea. Well, Jesus the Christ has told us to let our light shine. And even though our light may be very, very small, the Lord can take what we do and he can reflect that and make that go for miles and miles as well. In small ways, We can let our light shine in the name of Jesus, and there can be a tremendous ripple effect. Let me give you a few examples. Things that any one of us can do at any time. Giving up your place in a grocery line. You know, it's happened to me on more than one occasion when I've been the wonderful recipient of that. I don't know, I must have that hurried, panicked look like I got to get somewhere. And it's amazing how people say, well, why don't you go on ahead of me? And I say, bless you, bless you. But you know, it's nice to do that for someone else. It's nice to tell that cashier who's heard complaint after complaint after complaint all day long. I have a friend that works at a Walmart in Tennessee. And I want to tell you, when somebody comes through the line and says something pleasant, you know, we're all full of complaints. But do we ever stop and think about that person that's making a minimum wage, standing on their feet, and they've got to listen to it day in and day out, customer after customer? Some people that can't even say thank you, can't smile. Think about that. The next time you go through a line at Walmart or the grocery store, say something kind to that person who's standing there. Or what about the person who removes your garbage? You know, I think about that. I put plenty out there come one Thursday morning, and, you know, they got to pick up. Only the Lord knows what's in out there. And they've got to do that. Day in and day out. You know, if you see them on the truck, say thank you. Or what about a maid who cleans up your mess in a hotel room? You know, take the time to write a note and say thank you for cleaning up my mess every day I've been here. Yes, it's nice to give them a tip, but you know, it's nice for somebody to hear a word of thanks for some of those menial tasks that we need to be so very grateful for. Or somebody who waits on you in a restaurant. You know, I was a waitress, so I'm in for tipping waitresses big. Because you know what? They only make half of minimum wage. If you didn't know that, they make half of what minimum wage is, and they depend on those tips. Now, I'm not saying you have to go crazy, you know, put your whole allowance down there or your whole paycheck, but think about that. The next time somebody's running back and forth so that you can have a nice meal and you can relax and you didn't have to cook that night and you can share a conversation with somebody, say thank you. Don't look for something to complain about. Everything's not going to be perfect in a restaurant. It's not your home. But say thanks and be generous to that person who's working hard to make your night a little bit better. The Scouts have a slogan. What's your slogan? Do a good turn daily. Wow. That's something we all need in our lives, to do a good turn daily. There was a little girl who came home from Sunday school right after studying this verse. And she asked her mother, when she repeated the verse, what it meant. And her mom said, well, it means that when you're good and kind and thoughtful and obedient, you are letting Christ's light shine in your life before all who know you. The very next Sunday in Sunday school, the little girl got into a bit of an argument and little fracas that occurred with another student and created somewhat of an uproar to such an extent that the Sunday school teacher had to go get her mother to get her settled down in the class. Her mother was concerned when she got to the classroom and said, sweetie, don't you remember about letting your light shine for the Lord before others? The girl blurted out, Mom, I've blowed myself out. And you know, we don't have it on our own, and we do blow ourselves out at times because we need Jesus. We need Jesus living and dwelling within us to help us to let our light shine, because none of us can do it on our own. We are frail human beings, and we are sinful human beings, and we need Jesus within us to let our light shine. So let me ask you, who in your life needs the light of Christ? How can you be a light to that person or persons? And what are some specific good works that God is calling you to do? How can the way you live your life be a light to the person or persons? You know, we're living in a world and in our nation right now that's in total chaos in many, many ways. But you know, I can look at Facebook and you see, sometimes I get so weary of it. I don't know about the rest of you. I just don't want to hear this side and that side, and it just goes back and forth. But you know what impresses me? When somebody puts on there a story of somebody doing a kind task, somebody making a difference just by showing a little bit of love, being a light in the world. And you know, that can speak volumes rather than all the arguing back and forth and all the craziness that we're seeing right now. And we as the church have a responsibility to let our light shine in a dark world at times, doing good work so others may see, not to draw attention to us, but the attention may go to our Heavenly Father. Salt and light, two metaphors our Lord uses to describe our impact upon the world. As salty and bright Christians, our lives should possess contagious qualities that people will stop and say, there's something about him or her that I like. There's something in him or her. What is it? There's a story of a stressed out woman who was tailgating a man as they drove on a busy boulevard. And when he slowed to a stop at a yellow light, the woman hit the horn, started cussing and screaming in frustration and gesturingly angrily at him. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a police officer who ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station and placed her in a holding cell. An hour later, the officer returned and said, I'm sorry, ma'am. This has been a big mistake. When I pulled up behind you, I noticed your What Would Jesus Do license plate holder and your Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker. I assumed the car was stolen. You see, Satan doesn't care so much if you and I are a Christian as long as we don't act like one. Instead, Jesus calls believers to be the salt and the light, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. With Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of our lives, we can show off the love and the glory of God. You want to be a salty and bright Christian? If so, are you allowing Jesus to do the driving? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful passage of scripture because it is so easy for us to understand about salt and light. We see it all around us every day. And Lord, that's what you call us to be, salt and light. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to not just say we are Christians, but help us to act like Christians. And Lord, may we be so contagious with you that others will stop and take notice. And may you alone receive the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.